Okay, open your Bibles up to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Verse 25 is an interesting thing, because that's one of the laws that we have to keep, is the law of liberty. You know, we do have, there's three basic laws that we absolutely have to keep. The law of faith, the law of love, and the law of liberty. A lot of people really focus in on the law of love, and that's important, and they focus in on the law of faith, but they seem to forget about the law of liberty. You have been liberated from the Old Testament law. That's where your liberty lies. You're in the freedom of grace. But let's get on with the part I want to get on to, is the being doers of the word. He's given us his word. He's given us his name. He's given us the blood of Jesus. He's given us faith. And he's given us love. And he's given us liberty. Now what will we do with it? He's given us all these things. There's a whole bunch of people that have been given all of these things and they sit on the bench. They don't do anything with it. They don't realize the power of the name of the power of the name of Jesus. They don't understand the power of the blood of Jesus. So how are you going to use these things if you don't understand them? Let's go over to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All these signs that follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That should be the Easter message. It's because Jesus came back to life that he told us these things and told us that we would be witnesses unto him. And all the parts of the world, he told us to go out there and tell people that he came back to life. You know, the very core of our spiritual beliefs is the fact that he came back to life. Everything that we hang our faith on, everything we hang our hope on, everything that we believe is centered around the fact, the truth, that Jesus came back to life. It's because of that that we exist. And it's because of that that we have a mission. He told us to go out and do these things. This is a general calling to all believers. His word will hold us and keep us in the toughest of situations. so we can dominate the circumstances instead of being dominated by them. We will have challenges. Jesus told us, said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So it's a promise. Did you know that's a promise in the Bible? Just as sure as God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus told us that. His word is true, 100%. He said, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So these circumstances that we face, we can either be dominated by those circumstances or we can dominate the circumstances. But it's going to be our choice. Too many times, people, they accept things that have come from the devil. They accept them as being the will of God. Always remember John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus told us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. This would help a lot of preachers. When somebody passes away, they will know that God didn't take them out. God did not take anybody's baby because he seen the sin that they were going to be committing down the road and he wanted them to avoid that. He didn't do that. God did not take your baby because he needed another angel in heaven. The truth is, the curse got in there and takes people out. That's the truth. God receives those babies. He receives those that are born again, and he receives those babies that haven't gotten old enough to be accountable, to make a choice. That's why we know babies go to heaven. That's why we know children go to heaven. Even if they haven't been born again yet, because they haven't reached the age of accountability. So we can know that. But we don't have to make up things about God just to make ourselves feel better or just try to make somebody else feel better. The truth will make people feel better. But what we need to understand is that we have the ability to dominate the circumstances that come into our lives. You're never under the circumstances. Too many people walking around, you know, maybe they're going through a hard time. You ask them how they're doing. They say, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. You're not under the circumstances. You've been placed in Christ at the right hand of God. You're above your challenges. The Bible tells us that those circumstances have been placed under your feet. So instead of trying to fight for victory, start fighting from victory ground. Start fighting from a position that you understand where you've been placed in Christ, and you're already fighting from victory ground. You're ruling over your circumstances instead of trying to get an upper hand on them. You already have the upper hand on them. So you've got all these weapons. You got the Word of God. You got the name of Jesus. You got the blood of Jesus. You got all these tools. And these are how you dominate over the circumstances. I want you to look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Way back. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. This verse seems to be lost to a lot of people. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This verse is just as valid today as it was when they spoke it. But in dealing with a lot of Christians, you would act like, you would seem to think that this verse has been null and void. How can I say that? Because here's the deal. I've prayed with a lot of people, and I've ministered with a lot of people. Showed them the promises in the Word of God. We would agree on the promises, that they're true and they're for them. And we'd pray the prayer of faith with them. And then when they get out there, it's almost like, well, that was a nice prayer, but I'm going to go see what they say over here. Or I'm going to go do this. Or I'm going to go try this. Or I'm going to go try that. Did God say that he would do it? We have to be convinced. Here's the thing. We have to be convinced in our hearts that God is not a liar. I know that sounds crazy to say, but people act like he is. People act like he won't provide for them. People act like he won't protect them. There's some people that act like they might not be saved, even though the Word of God says that. You know, they kind of got this idea that they got to wait. Maybe, I don't know, if they think they're going to get to heaven and flip a coin, or get to heaven and see if their name's wrote in there somewhere that they can get in. Honestly, I don't know how they come up with these ideas, other than lack of teaching, which is the one thing we have to have rock solid on. We have to have a rock solid foundation in this fact that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and you confess with your mouth that you shall be saved. That sounds simple to us because we've been around it so much. But there's a lot of people that don't know. They're hoping. They're trying. They want to be. But they're not completely sold on that idea. And they've been going to church for 30 years, 40 years, some of them. Hoping they can get to heaven. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. I like the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." As far as God is concerned, he sent his word, and it's yours. And it will produce in your life. It will prosper in the thing that he sent it. It will happen. As far as God is concerned, you're healed. As far as God is concerned, you're prospered. As far as God is concerned, you're saved. As far as God is concerned, you're delivered. As far as we're concerned, where do we stand? See, a lot of times people are in doubt And that's understandable for somebody, you know, that just showed up. You know, even maybe they've been around a few years and they just don't quite understand something. See, doubt can be taken care of. When people hear the Word of God, actually, when they hear the Word of Christ, it will produce faith in them. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. So when we find something that we're not sure about, and we all do, if we're honest, we all do. I promise you. I'm not sure about walking on water. I know I see it in the Bible. I know Jesus did it. I know Peter did it. So I know it's possible for me to do it. I just don't know how that's going to take place. But it happened. But when we hear the Word of God on something, when we hear over and over and over again, something changes on the inside of us. It's our hearts. The Word of God will produce faith in our heart. And pretty soon we'll become completely, fully persuaded, completely convinced, the same way Abraham did. You know, Abraham had to walk around calling himself the father of many nations for a long time before his Isaac was born. And he tried to force the thing along a little bit and try to help God, and he came up with Ishmael. We've all produced an Ishmael. We've all tried to help God out a little bit instead of being patient. Patience is something that has been lost to society. I noticed that we are the most impatient people, I think, that have ever been on this planet. And we keep getting worse. If you notice the information, when we need information, we can get it fast. You know, if we want to download something, we can get it immediately. Heaven forbid the internet should be just a little bit slow. I remember having to cut something out of a magazine, fill it out, fill out a check, put it in an envelope, mail it off, and it'd take a week or two to get wherever it was going, and then they'd have a week to in their fulfillment department to fill the order, and then it'd take a week or two to get back. But you just waited. Now we get everything now. We get it now. We got microwaves now. We get information now. We want what we want when we want it. We get it now. So then if we have to wait, you know, man, I've been waiting for 3 days for my healing. Patience is something that it's a fruit. And it comes from a fellowship with Christ. It's not something that you're going to earn. It's not something you're going to pray into your life. It's something that is going to happen to you through fellowshipping with Jesus by reading His Word. It's a fruit. If you don't think it's a fruit, go pray for patience. And then come back and tell me how that worked for you. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, Jesus said, "The word that I speak unto you shall never pass away. We are independent of our circumstances. Spiritually, we are independent of our circumstances. We're not bound to our circumstances. It may seem like we're bound to our circumstances, but we're not. We've been set free from those by the Word of God at the new birth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, is Paul again. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore, therewith, to be content." He was independent of his circumstances. He wasn't bound by his circumstances. He wasn't bound by lack. He wasn't bound by the challenges in life. And that guy had some challenges. I mean, he got drug out of the city and stoned, and they left him for dead. He got drowned. He got bit by a deadly snake. Those are some pretty bad circumstances. But he wasn't bound to those circumstances. He didn't let those circumstances take him out. He said, "For I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therein to be independent of circumstances." That means no matter what happens, I'm okay. Whatever happens, God is taking care of me. Whatever attack that comes down my road, down my path, God already has my back. See, this is pretty important to know, especially with the things that are happening in our world and in our country. It's important to know that no matter what happens, God is on the scene and He's taking care of me. There's going to be a lot of really, really, really scared people here pretty soon. And they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to go where to turn. They need somebody to turn to. Say, "Hey, look. God's got this thing. If you'll turn to Him, He'll take care of it." See, we're not to be conformed to this world. Even though we are in this world, we're not to be conformed to this world, which means when the whole world freaks out and starts running scared and starts running in chaos, that's not us. That's not us. We're supposed to be the people that get up, go to work, and go about living life. And I promise you, somebody's going to notice. Somebody's going to start wanting to know, "Hey, why are you so calm in a panic situation?" A lot of people really don't know the truth about what's going on. Because if they did, there'd be a whole bunch of people running down the street pulling their hair out. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It doesn't say one thing about being strong in ourselves. I promise you, if you think you're going to take on what's going on in this world in and of yourself, you're going to fail. The Bible says to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's where our strength comes from, Him. That's where our wisdom comes from. That's where our peace comes from. And that's where our provision comes from. When we need an answer fast, do we run to Google? Or do we run to God? Yeah. Google is cool, but you know, what happens if we have an internet blackout? What happens if we have a communication blackout? What happens if all these worldly resources that we depend on daily are gone? It would be a good thing to have a really close fellowship with Jesus and say, hey, I don't understand what's going on here. I need your help. That'd be a good place to start. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says, Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. That means God will put a rush on His word. His word needs to be received in faith. You know, the gospel didn't do the Israelites much good. They didn't receive it by faith. The gospel didn't, you know, they wouldn't receive it. Their Savior was standing right in front of them, and they wouldn't receive it. They wouldn't believe it. They're changing. They keep getting born again. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God cannot lie. Jesus cannot lie. Holy Spirit cannot lie. They cannot lie. If one of them ever lied, we'd all be toast. Because the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies. So if one of them ever lied, he'd have to bow his knee to the devil. And that is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. We can take God at His word. God is not like a man. He's not going to say, yes, I'm going to do this for you tomorrow. And then maybe somebody invites them out to dinner an hour after they said that. Now, do I want to go help Peter work in the yard? Or do I want to go eat a ribeye steak with Butch? Which one is it? See, we're people are not the same as God. God said it. That's the way it is. Period. We better stop there because we're not going to get anywhere close to the end of these notes. So we're just going to stop right there. Father, we thank you that your word is true and that you hold your word above your own name. We thank you that your word has been sent forth to us. And if we will receive it by faith, it will prosper in us. It is your seed. Your seed will produce fruit in a some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. We thank you that your word in our hearts will change us and it will change our world. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.